Okay, now you can hear me. I'm praising the Lord. That's what I'm doing up here. But Sister Vicky's doing well. Just told her to rest this evening, and she's already been busy today, but mostly from a sitting position. But I want to thank the Lord personally, too. Yesterday, and I don't know if you here know, but a handful of times over the years, I've had a severe allergic reaction that doctors have never known what caused it. I got tested, and I knew it was a little funny feeling yesterday, but I woke up this morning covered from my head to my feet with hives and swollen, my face, my lips, my hands, could barely even use the phone. And I've learned and went to the clinic and got a steroid shot, and after just 5 or 6 hours, everything fine, and I feel good tonight, so I'm able to be here. The doctor who knew I was the pastor, she said, maybe you shouldn't preach tonight. I said, you just gave me a steroid shot. I should be able to preach twice as much as usual tonight. So anyway, I'm thankful that I'm here and feeling much, much better, and thankful for your prayers, because God's, you know, we all go through things physically, emotionally, spiritually, but if we will keep looking to the Lord, he's going to bring us through. And, you know, right now I'm just looking forward after 5 weeks of having a sermon I can preach without a cough drop in my mouth. That'll be a blessing. So we'll get there maybe Sunday, the Lord willing. I'm thankful you're here and that the Lord is with us. This evening, if you have your Bibles, I want to read one verse of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, if you have ever looked at that verse in any other translation, you know that that second phrase is sometimes looked at in a wrong way, but it means a brother is born to help us in adversity. It's not someone who is our adversary, but a friend, a brother is to help us in adversity. So we want to consider these words tonight, the help of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, a day that you have given us. Lord, we've, by your grace, tried to live it for your glory, and that's our desire tonight, to glorify you, to minister your word through the power of your Spirit, to encourage souls. Lord, we're here to receive instruction from you, the help that we need. So we ask for that divine anointing, Lord, to be able to speak words of life that will help souls and bring glory and honor to you. Bless each of these needs, Lord, we pray, especially for Brother Virgil's daughter, Kathy, and that family. This time of sorrow, Lord, the sudden loss of her husband, Tim, I just pray that your arms of comfort, of strength, would just surround each of them. And Father, that they would draw closer to you through this. Thank you that Tim was your child and he's safely home with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I'd like to especially focus on this first part of the verse. It's what the Lord drew my attention to this morning. A friend loves at all times. From those words, I want to use the subject of faithful love. Love is, of course, the subject that this world has gotten so mixed up in regards to. People imagine that they can love one day and not love the next, you know, love this way and that. But true love, and of course we're not talking tonight on a human level, we're talking about divine love. God's love is a faithful love, amen? It's a love that endures, it's a love that never fails. And when that love is in us, it will be a faithful love. We don't know exactly what Solomon, who is the writer of this, may have had in mind when he was writing these words, but that's not a concern, because what I do know tonight is that the Holy Spirit was leading his mind. And I say that because the Bible assures us that all Scripture is given by divine inspiration. And so just as we read the words of Jesus in the New Testament, we read these here in the Old, and we by faith know that they are divinely inspired by God, and they are for our benefit. Perhaps Solomon was thinking about a good friend that he had, and you know, as a king in a position like that, I could imagine that, you know, you'd be very careful about who your real friends are. And maybe he had somebody who had always stood with him, and you know, when other people went by, that maybe he was just thinking about that. Or because we have the stories recorded, perhaps he was thinking about his own father David. And you remember David as a younger man when he became such close friends with Jonathan. And the Bible talks about that friendship that they have, a friendship stronger than death, because Jonathan, who was King Saul's son, you remember King Saul became David's enemy, tried to kill David. Jonathan had such a faithful love for his friend David that he was willing to stand against his own father, who was the king, and could have tried to even pin him to the wall with a spear. So we know that these words are anointed of God. And what I was thinking about today, and this happens throughout the Old Testament in many places, when men are making certain statements and declarations and they're recorded, the Holy Spirit is involved. And you know, even though those men do not realize, Solomon could not realize what he was saying in the fullness, but the Holy Spirit who was anointing him was already, you know, the Holy Spirit knows all things. And he was already looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. The Holy Spirit knew that this friend that Solomon was writing about, that he was unaware of, would become a friend to mankind that they had never known before. And it's when we understand these words in that context. The Holy Spirit knew full well when he inspired Solomon to write these words that Jesus would come into this world, and as he was accused in the New Testament, he would be the friend of sinners. Amen? Aren't we glad tonight? We would never have had any hope. If he had only become the friend of the righteous, we would have all been left out. He is the one, Jesus. That's what I want you to say. He is the one these words are pointing to. He is the one that fulfilled these words perfectly, completely, and fully. And of course, where we stand now as New Testament Christians, you know, when we read these passages in the Old Testament, like this one about love, a friend loves at all times, we dare not do like those Jews in the Old Testament, because when they spoke of love, they thought of love in a very exclusive sense. They thought of God's love upon his covenant people and their love for God, and that was the extent. They had no love for the Gentiles, and they didn't even believe God loved the Gentiles. So we dare not limit ourselves, because it's such a dangerous thing. Every passage in the Old Testament that talks about love, we ought to always keep in mind the things that the New Testament reminds us. Our mind, when we think about a friend that loves at all times, we ought to go to the words of Jesus in John chapter 13. You remember when he told the disciples, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another." And that great, to me, the biggest two-letter word in the Bible. Love one another as. Just put great big A in it. As I have loved you. Amen? And then the next verse says, by this love, this Christ-like love you exhibit towards one another, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And even more, and of course, as I was thinking about this, and I've studied and preached many times here on this subject of love, and we studied at length a few years ago on 1 Corinthians 13, but the Lord brought my mind back to that great chapter on love, how the love of God working in the hearts of his children, and a part of that chapter reminds us to go along with this thought, how love is faithful. Paul writes there, again inspired by the Spirit, that love suffers long, love endures all things, love bears all things, love never fails, amen? And so I bring that up because we need to qualify the words that we've read here in the Old Testament in the kind of love that we have been called to as New Testament Christians. And it is these New Testament truths on love that lift these Old Testament passages. And matter of fact, that's why we should never shun or stay away from the Old Testament, because everything that we read in the Old Testament, even some things hard to understand, we're going to constantly be running across things that are illuminated by New Testament truths. And that's how this, I mean, when you read the story of Jonathan and David, your mind ought to be going to Jesus, who left heaven to come to this world to be the friend of sinners. Amen. That's the most important thing about every passage in the Old Testament. They point to Jesus. That's why we need it. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to have it in our hearts and minds. It lifts our minds to that high and that holy one who came to a world filled with sin. And we can make no mistake about it. He came into a world filled with adversity. A brother's born for adversity. He came to be our friend and our brother. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. He came and he was born into this world of adversity because he knew how much we needed him. And you know what is so amazing? And I'm going to go on just from this first part, but I want you to see, because it means nothing until we see the faithful love of Christ for our unworthy and fallen souls. Jesus knew us exactly as we were, and he loved us faithfully. Amen. Think about that. He knew us before the foundation of the world because he is God. He knew all things. He knew when we would be born. He knew that we would fall by sin. He knew that he would send his Spirit and his word after us, and there would be faithful witnesses in our life. And he knew we would reject him. He knew we would rebel against him. But did it change his love for us? Did his love deviate? Did it waver? Is it too bad? You know, Chris Miller got too bad. Mike Insley got too bad. He loved us with a faithful love. Hallelujah. Amen. Love that never wavered. A love that was constant. And it is Christ that we and the Word of God holds up as our exemplar, our shining example, because he is the one that has loved with a faithful love completely and perfectly. It is really amazing when you think about the love of Christ, and I'm not going to spend all my time here, but he knew us, the songwriter says. He knew me. Yet he loved me. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs because his love was faithful to me. Amen. He looked beyond what you and I were to what he could make us to be, because his love would never fail. As low as we may have gotten in sin's gutter, he loved us still. Amen. Or some people think that the gutter is the worst place. It's not. The worst is he loved us even when we were high and lifted up in our pride and arrogance. It's a far more dangerous place than being in the gutter of sin. He loved us. You say, oh, Brother Chris, I'm so glad that he found me and that I followed him. But you know, in all your failures and shortcomings, he's loved you still. Hallelujah. Every time that I've stumbled, In his love, he has reached out and picked me up, his faithful love. Every time that I've grown weary and went to my own way, he has loved me and brought me back. Amen. In all of our childish stubbornness, he's loved us. In all of our misguided ideals about religion, he's loved us. In all of our failure to love others as we should, he has loved us faithfully. Amen. Jesus has been our faithful friend who has loved at all times. So I hope you, the rest of your life, when you look at this verse, I hope you, when you see those words, a friend, you see Jesus is my friend. He is the one who came to be the friend of sinners. He is that friend who loved me at all times. Amen. He's our brother friend. Isn't that something? You know, a lot of us have had brothers and sisters in the flesh, and maybe a few can say, well, my physical, biological brother or sister, they're my friend. Everybody can't say that. We can say Jesus is our brother friend. I'm overwhelmed by that thought. He is not ashamed to call me his brother. That's what the Bible says. Our brother friend came to help us through all of the, to save us, to help us through the adversity that we would face in this world. And you know what that ought to provoke in us? We ought to want to be his friend. We ought to be striving to be his faithful friend. We ought to endeavor to love him at all those times when, now let's face it, you say, why would anybody have that struggle like that? Because there's a lot of things you and I face we don't understand. And there's a lot of times the devil, the enemy of our souls, is going to be bringing thoughts and things to our mind and questioning and causing us to doubt and things. And we have to determine that we're going to love Jesus with that same faithful love at all times, no matter what I'm going through, no matter if I understand it or not. We've got to determine we're going to love him faithfully when it brings us into suffering, into persecution, whatever the path he has for us holds. We've got to determine we're going to love him faithfully. I've been writing about it in some of the devotionals. The storms are going to come against us, and floodwaters rise and threaten our soul, but brother, sister, we're going to have to decide, I'm going to faithfully love Jesus through it all, amen, no matter what comes my way. And of course, we should ask ourselves the question, how could I not love him? He's done everything for me. He's been so good to me. He's been faithful. He's never failed. How could I not love him? How could I ever waver in my love for Jesus? How could I wander from that unfailing love that he has demonstrated for me? But we are still in this flesh. Amen. We have a struggle. And so we have to do as Jude writes in verse 21, we've got to endeavor to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now think about it. You say, oh, Brother Chris, love is just so sweet, and oh, love is the strongest thing that you'll ever experience in this world. This modern, ignorant ideal of, you know, associating the love of God with this lustful desires that people have in this world, it is so foreign to true love. The love of God is the strongest thing in this universe. We must strive to love him faithfully, constantly, fervently, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. You know, I believe that, and I can only speak for me, but I've read enough writings of other people, great men and women of God. One of the regrets that most of us are going to come down to with the end is that we did not love our faithful friend more. I'm not saying we're going to, you know, it's going to keep us out of heaven or anything, we're going to regret we didn't love him more. Amen. That we weren't more faithful in our love to him. But all that being said, that was the introduction. I told you I got an extra shot today. So, no, it's not. That was part one, now part two. And that is all true. And I absolutely believe these words, they speak to us in the highest and most important way when we see them pointing to Jesus Christ, who is our friend, who has loved us at all times. But if we're really honest about it, we'll have to agree. The biggest struggle is not in our personal relationship with Jesus. It is in our relationships with other human beings. Okay, I'm getting a lot of nods, okay? I know you're awake. Why wouldn't we love Jesus? I mean, he's perfectly loved us. He's perfect. I'm not perfect, so you struggle to love me. You're not perfect, so people may struggle. Amen. Amen. Let's get it down where it is. This is the far greater challenge we have as God's people, to faithfully love. A friend loveth at all times, to faithfully love our Christian friends as we are called to in God's word. Now, don't jump ahead, because I know a thought that comes up. It came to my mind, because I've heard it so many times. People will say, and if you've said it to me, I'm not remembering who said it. I just know I've heard it a lot. Well, I know I have to love them, but I don't like them. But that statement is never, ever to be spoken about another child of God. That may be true of a sinner because they're hard to like. We are friends of Jesus. Amen? You his friend? He's your friend. I hope you're his friend. If he is my friend, Brother Mike, and he's your friend, and we're being friends to him, then guess what? We're not only brethren born into the same spiritual family, we are brother friends. Is that all right? Sister Carolyn's my sister friend. Amen? We're brothers and sisters. We're born into the same family. Guess what? You stuck with me. You ain't going to make heaven if you don't love me. But I'm going to go a little further tonight. If you're a friend of Jesus and I'm a friend of Jesus, guess what? We're going to be friends. Hallelujah. You know, the church, God, people have used that excuse so ignorantly. Well, I like him, but I love him, but I don't like him. Well, get right with God. Amen. Amen. You'll have a lot of friends. Every time you come around the people of God, you have friends. Everywhere I go with the people of God, I'm surrounded by friends. Amen. Because the love of Christ is in my heart, because he loved me when I wasn't worth loving. I was unworthy and undeserving, and I still am today, but he's my friend. Amen. And if he's your friend, you are stuck with me as a friend. Amen. See, that don't sadden me. That gladdened me. That lifted my heart. I can go among other people. I don't have to agree with them and put everybody in their place and everything. I can say, I sense the Spirit of God in you. You're my brother. You're my friend. Amen. I got so many friends. One of the most wonderful things to me personally, being involved in the community efforts, and you say, oh, I know, you can hang your head and say, well, everything ain't perfect about that. Well, we're not in a perfect world yet. But I've been so blessed, because everywhere I go in this community, I run into friends. And I don't say, oh, there, Brother So-and-so, let me walk this way. No. I say, well, hallelujah. My wife hates to take me to the store anymore. Said, you can't go in and out anywhere. Sends me to Price's Hardware, and I come back an hour and a half later and said, oh yeah, you've been at it again. Visiting with a friend. But isn't that wonderful? You know, when I came down here 23 years ago now, I didn't have any friends in this community. I was just getting to know you.
But I found a spiritual family, brothers and sisters in Christ, who immediately became my friends. Amen. You know, it didn't take me 6 months to get to be friends with Sister Sandra and Sister Margaret and the others that were there then. I didn't have to get to know Brother Richard and, you know, have a fishing trip together before I could become my friend. They're the family of God and they're my friends. And I've loved them ever since I met them. It's not been hard. Amen. Got to get away from that ideal. You can go home and tell somebody, Brother Chris, he's my brother friend. Amen. You're my sister friend, you ladies and brothers. You're my brother friend. Amen. Because we are the friends of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's encouraging to me. So, and you know this, it's not an easy thing to hear, and there are many religious people who reject it, but I'm telling you from God's word. If any of us have a problem loving someone in the family of faith, a Christian friend, that is because we are having trouble loving Jesus. Amen? Amen. You need a scripture? Yeah, you actually do. I'm going to tell you one. He already knows. You remember what John wrote in 1 John 4:20, one of the great chapters on love. John said, how can a man say he loves God whom he can't see? And he don't love his brother whom he is looking at. And he ended it with pretty strong language. That man is a liar. Amen. Not Brother Chris, don't get mad at me. The Bible says, we claim to love God and we don't love our brother, sister who we're looking at. It says we're a liar. May God help us to understand. And what I want to, I'm not closing yet, but my final thought is, church, I want us to understand this. This is not just encouraging word, this is the seriousness of it. And this is what most in religion have failed to see today. This is where the real battle is. This is the battle. There's so much ignorance in the pulpits of our churches and on our religious airwaves that people think that the battle for Christian America is our freedoms and in politics and it's about doctrines and it's about philosophy and it's about this thing. The battle has always been Satan attacking the one thing that is most important to God above all. What's that? Number one, love. Love God and love one another. Amen. And that's what they're missing today. They're focusing on all these other things all while they're hating on one another. Christians can't treat each other right and people in different churches can't treat each other right. And there is so little of the love of Christ being demonstrated because there is so little of the love of Christ in their hearts today. This is where the battle is. It has been lost by professing an apostate religion today. They don't know what real love to God is. This is the battle. This is our battle. This is every church's battle. This is every Christian's battle. The battle to do what Jesus said, to love God supremely and to love others, to love Him faithfully, to love others as we love ourselves and to love them faithfully, to love them through thick and thin, love them when they're up, when they're down, love them when they're good, when they're bad, love them when they failed, love them faithfully all the way to the end. Is that how we want God to love us? Amen. As I have loved you, Jesus said. This has always been where the devil has focused his primary attack. Now, it's manifested in other ways, certainly. But he's always trying to get his foot in the door when it comes to our love. He first of all tries to get us to be unfaithful in our love to God. To put something on the top shelf besides God. To make something or someone the priority besides God. And just to get us to love anything, anyone, a little more than God. We're not being faithful to love God, amen. But then he'll do it right in the body of Christ, right among believers. Devil's always trying to do this. I've told you over and over through the years, and some of you remember, I've preached this many times and something around this same, excuse me, my cough drop doesn't run out. But I'm just about done. You'd be happy to know that. The devil's always coming in. You know, in 23 years here, let me ask you, how many attacks have we felt very directly against our doctrine? Anybody coming in tearing up the doctrine? No, I'm a pastor. There's people don't agree. They come. I've talked with them. Maybe they stay. Maybe they go. You know, we've been hearing it for decades. Oh, our freedom's under attack. Our freedom's under attack. We're still here. We're still free. I'm not saying it's not under attack, but I'm just saying that's not been the real problem. But you know what's been under attack since day one? Not just since I came here, but I mean since sin entered the world. Love has been under attack. Part of Satan's ploy in the garden was. I mean, there they, Adam and Eve existed in a perfect relationship of love, faithful love to God. And though we don't read these words, what happened is he got them twisted up to where they love themselves more than God. Right. Amen. That's the essence of the fall. They put themselves, God said, but I'm going to go ahead and do what I want. And it's never changed. And so it happens everywhere you look in the professed church today. And in the remnant, in the body of Christ, Satan doesn't leave us alone. You know, I've not felt any pressure to change the doctrine or to do this or that. Or, you know, I don't lay awake at night worrying about the police coming in, locking stuff. But I lay awake at nights begging God to help us to love one another. Amen. Because I know how the enemy works. Because the devil knows how much damage comes when we do not demonstrate faithful love to one another. The devil knows. The devil knows. I've realized this so many times. And you say, Brother Chris, you acted like people ought to live perfect. Well, how would you prefer I preach that we, you know, aim at imperfection? I mean, what's the Bible said? Be ye perfect as God is perfect. But it's not my message tonight. We ought to be aiming to love God faithfully at all times, and we ought to be aiming to love one another faithfully at all times. Amen? Amen. At all times. That ought to be our aim. That ought to be our desire. And we ought to be guarding ourselves against any instance where that's not demonstrated, because we will cause a soul to stumble and we will give an inroad to the devil that we have no idea what will happen. True. So you know what the devil does? He gives us this ability, and it's amazing to me. You know, some of you know one of the gifts in the Bible talks about the gift of discernment, but I'm amazed how many people can discern all the faults of others, but they can't discern their own problems. They're discerning. Oh, I can see it. You know, I've been around them. I've seen them. And, you know, they don't come around talking a lot of, you know, sometimes it'll happen. He'll run you down and stuff and bringing up every fault and failure, but he'll sure be reminding you of every fault and failure of people around you. Amen? He will. What are you going to do with it? He'll magnify those things. Sometimes it'll be in your own home, in your own family. It certainly will be in your own congregation, in your own community. He'll point out every little flaw. He'll bring up everything that rubs you wrong about that person. I know nobody's going to say amen now, but all of us ought to be going, That's how he works. He'll remind you when they failed and when they disappointed at people. But you know what God's calling us to do? To love that soul with a love stronger than death. A love that endures to the end. A friend loves at all times. A faithful friend will have a faithful love all the way unto the end. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to remind you as I close two things. We got to figure something out, which should be very simple. We should have figured it out long ago, but it seems that we forget so easily. The kind of love that I'm talking about tonight, which is what God's Word talks about. It's what Christ said, love each other as I've loved you. Let me say this very clear. I can't love you that way on my own. I don't have it in me. He said, no. All the human love I can muster can't love people over top of things that the devil brings up. I'm never going to become loving enough in myself to love you with the love of Christ as I'm supposed to. Nor you, me. You know, you bring up any example. You know, we have had some great spiritual pillars in the church, individuals filled with love. I mean, Sister Pearl and Sister Juanita, Sister Irene, I think of Brother Shane, and could just go down the list of people who, it just seemed like when we came, love just flowed out of them, amen? Every one of them, if you would have asked them, could you love everybody without Jesus? No, I know the answer. You know the answer. So we can only manifest this love of a friend that loves at all times. And remember, I'll say it one last time. We are brother friends, sister friends. Our hearts must open fully to the love of Christ. That love that the Spirit sheds abroad in us. Amen. We must open our heart to receive that fullness of the divine love. Because if we, you say, oh, I've got God's love, but the problem is we keep some things tucked away, areas of our life where we don't let God's love go. And that always, the devil always finds it. He always does. And it'll manifest itself. And worse, somebody will see it. And somebody will be wounded by it. And a soul will be damaged and you will be accountable to Almighty God. Secondly, we need to realize that this love we are called to have for our friends, our Christian friends, the body of Christ, it is never to be based on their performance. Amen. I'm just going to leave you with two points here. You can't do it. It has to be God's love in you. Secondly, if you're waiting for them to become good enough, you don't have the love of Christ. Amen. Well, if he'd just act better, I'd know. Maybe you get saved, you'd love him. Amen. Amen. Maybe you get that carnality out of that hidden place in your heart, you'd love them. Love, the love of Christ. See, it can't be based on performance because Christ said, love them as I've loved you. Did he love you when you started performing up to par? No. When you were in the gutter. So I know that's absolutely true. But the good news is, it's when we do this. See, when we do things God's way, we're going to win the battle. When we do things according to God's word, we're going to win this battle of love, the spiritual battle of this and every generation. We'll be faithful to love God all the way to the end. And loving him, we'll be faithful to love our Christian friends.
Amen.
Amen. All the way to the end.
Amen.
I'm going to close, but I could preach a while still, so I'm going to take it easy on you tonight. Because my body feels a lot better than my voice. But I'm going to leave it with you. I know why the Apostle John, more as he got older, he was known as the Apostle of Love. I just see him in my mind because I feel that way everywhere I go. I just want to tell people, let's love each other. Let's love each other. Let's show God's love to each other. Amen. Forget about the petty things. Let's love each other. And ask our singers, musicians to come. We have a verse of a closing song. As you stand with us. Father, thank you.